Welcome to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, August 6th, 2017. Today we continue our sermon series, Wisdom Calling, a study in the book of Proverbs. Today, Pastor Mike Matheson will be preaching on Proverbs on Family.
Today's scripture reading will be found from three different passages. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, Proverbs 22, verse 6, and Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. This is God's word for us today.
Well, if you could sit down and have dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be? And recently, you may have seen this video online where a group of folks were asked this very question on camera, and you could probably guess at the responses. They were the normal ones that you'd expect to hear. Most people said names of celebrities and other historical figures. And after they were asked that question, they were brought into a different room, and then their children were brought in and asked the same question. This is where it got interesting. The children immediately asked, well, does it have to be someone famous? No. And immediately, again and again, they said, our mom and dad. Again and again, the children responded that if they could sit down and have dinner with anyone in the world, it would be their own family. Now, I was a little bit skeptical. So after I saw this video, I said, I want to test this out at home. And so that night, we were sitting around the dinner table, and I turned to my son. I said, buddy, his name's not Buddy, it's Camden, but I called him Buddy. I said, hey, buddy, if you could have dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be? And without skipping a beat, he looked at me and he said, you, Daddy. And this, yeah, I know, huh? And this is while we were already sitting down eating dinner together. There's just something about sharing a meal together that just communicates, this is family time. Even little children, they just know it. What's interesting is somehow the parents in these interviews, they seem to have forgotten that. And why didn't they answer that way? Now, maybe it's just because they thought that they were giving the answers that they were supposed to. But perhaps maybe there is something a little bit less innocent at work in the world and at work even in our own hearts that we're inclined to answer the question the way they did. Again, maybe that's not what's happening in the video, but the reality is we do live in a world that is not favorable to valuing and cherishing and protecting the idea of family. In fact, we live in a world that doesn't just want to redefine what family is. We live in a world that wants to undefine what family is. We live in a world that wants to minimize and family and reduce everybody to mere individuals. It's not about moms and dads and parents and children. It's all about you. The vision of what it means to live a life of human flourishing and to thrive now centers around the individual. And this is not the picture we get in Scripture. Proverbs has a very different take on the role and the significance of family. And remember now what Proverbs is trying to do. Proverbs is trying to give us wisdom. It's trying to make us wise. And in Proverbs, we don't just see God's wisdom about family. What we see from the whole picture that Proverbs paints is this. Family is God's wisdom to us. The family itself is God's wisdom for his creation. It's God's wisdom for human flourishing, for how humans will thrive in this world. In other words, this book does not just give us wisdom on how family works well, although we will see that. What we see is that family itself is God's plan on how we become wise and grow in wisdom. The family itself is God's wisdom to us. It's the most foundational, affecting, nurturing, stabilizing unit in human society. It is the place where wisdom is nurtured and fostered and formed. And church, we see this from the whole context of Proverbs. Proverbs is a family book. If you remember right from the beginning of the book, way back in chapter 1, it began in verse 8 with these words, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Right from the outset, we're supposed to understand this book as it's like we're overhearing a conversation between a father and a son. There's a wise father who is seeking to impart wisdom to his son so that his son can grow up and become mature and wise in this world. And that wisdom is intended to come from the family or the home. When I say home, I don't mean the physical structure, that the place that you live in. I mean the very specific network of relationships that God has set up that we call family. And there are three of them in particular that Proverbs addresses, three groups or three networks of relationships: husbands and wives, parents, and children. And so for the rest of our time this morning, what I want us to do is look at what Proverbs has to say to each one of those three groups within the family. But before we begin, I want to just give a couple little disclaimers. The first is that we will just be scratching the surface this morning. Proverbs has so much to say about family. We could spend a whole Sunday just on each one of these three groups in Proverbs. We could spend multiple Sundays just on each of these groups and what Proverbs has to say to each. So we are just going to be scratching the surface today, but I want you to have a sense of God's wisdom for family from Proverbs for us. The second disclaimer I have is this. When I say husbands and wives and I say parents and children, if you don't immediately identify with one of those three categories, don't check out this morning. Don't say, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm just going to not really pay attention, or I'm going to go out in the commons and get some coffee and walk around. Don't do that. The reality is you may not identify with one of those groups now, but you might someday. And even beyond that, what we want to say is that all scripture is beneficial for all of us. And you very well may be in a situation where maybe you don't primarily identify with one of those three groups, but you are in relationship here in our church with those who do. And you may be in a situation someday to encourage husbands and wives and parents and children. And so this is applicable for all of us. This is God's word for us today. So let's jump in and hear it and hear what he has to say to these three groups, beginning with, first, husbands and wives. And what we see in Proverbs is this. If you want your family to thrive, it begins with a thriving marriage. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Throughout Proverbs, Proverbs upholds what we see in the very creation story of Genesis 2, that God made man and woman for each other, that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that this is a good thing. This is favor from God. And this is the foundational network that lays the foundation for a healthy and thriving family. But Proverbs doesn't just uphold what we see in Genesis 2. Proverbs also upholds what we see in Genesis 3. When sin enters God's creation, this foundational relationship begins to break down. We see husband and wife turn against each other. And so here in Proverbs, what we see are consistent warnings. Warnings against specific things that will break down this foundational relationship that's intended to be a gift of God's grace to us. And there are two things in particular that come up again and again throughout Proverbs that will threaten to hurt or harm this significant relationship between a husband and wife. And they are unfaithfulness and constant quarreling. These things come up more than any other in Proverbs, and one is addressed towards husbands, and the other is addressed towards wives. In Proverbs, and listen to this, please. In Proverbs, there is a particular warning towards men, towards husbands and future husbands, about the temptation to be sexually unfaithful to your wife. Listen to these words of warning from Proverbs chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, that your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. The temptation to unfaithfulness, it is so powerful because it promises sweet joy, but it lies. It only delivers death. Imagine if you were to take a sip of your favorite beverage, and just before you brought it to your lips, you notice there's a little warning label that said, poisonous. One sip is known to wreak total havoc in your life. You wouldn't drink it. That is the warning that Proverbs is giving us here. But it's not just giving us a warning. Proverbs doesn't just give warnings, it gives wisdom. It doesn't just tell us what to avoid, it tells us what to enjoy. Let's continue reading in chapter 5, verse 15. Men, listen to this. This is addressed towards you still. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. And verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Man, don't miss this. I think this is probably the only time you will ever hear a preacher to tell you to get drunk. Be intoxicated always in the love of your wife. If you have a wife, hear this. If you have a wife, God has given you a good gift. Not go find one that's good. No, if you have one, he has already given you a good gift. And if you listen to this wisdom from God, the goodness of that gift to you will not run out. If you want your family to thrive, men, if you want your marriage to thrive, you can help that happen by not letting your eyes, not letting your desires go elsewhere, but only to your wife that God has given to you as a good gift. Now, there's another warning here, and this one is addressed more towards wives. Something else that can seriously threaten a thriving family is constant quarreling, constant conflict and fighting. And let me just pause here and say, look, don't be tempted to think that Solomon is sexist here. We know anyone can be tempted to be unfaithful, and anyone can be tempted to quarreling, but let's not miss this. God, in his wisdom, is speaking to us through Solomon, and Solomon is pointing out something that he has observed in his wisdom, that there is a particular tendency for husbands, and there is a particular tendency for wives. And let me just say, don't resist that this morning. Let God have his word, and let us hear and receive his word this morning as he speaks it to us. Listen to these proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 21, 19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Now look, these verses may sound harsh, and quite honestly, I think that they are intended to. They're not intended to cause insult, but they are meant to be a sobering picture. Wives, if in your marriage you find yourself tempted to be constantly against your husband, to be constantly arguing, to be constantly putting out his flaws and his errors, which may be many, if you do that, you will be taking the legs right out from underneath your marriage. Your marriage cannot thrive. Your family cannot thrive. You will not thrive if you are constantly contending against your husband. And here, once again, Proverbs doesn't just give us a picture of what to avoid. Proverbs gives us wisdom. And in particular, Proverbs paints a portrait of a woman, of a wife, that is thriving in her marriage and she's causing her family to thrive as well. Listen to this picture from Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And wives, let me just say here, do not be tempted to think that this is a picture of a weak woman. This is not a weak woman. Listen to verse 17 of the same chapter. She dresses herself with strength, and she makes her arms strong. The picture that God gives us of a godly wife, it is a picture of a strong woman. A strong woman who seeks to do good to her husband and her family, such that her husband and her family, her children, they praise her. Verses 28 and 29 of the same chapter. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you, you surpass them all. And before we move on, I want to just kind of come back at the husbands again for a moment here. Husbands, do you see the husband here in Proverbs 31? Maybe you've heard of this Proverbs 31 woman. There's a Proverbs 31 man as well. He praises her. If you want to help your wife toward this picture, don't criticize her. Don't withdraw from her. Encourage her. Praise her. If God has given you a wife, he has given you a good thing, and there is much there to be praised. Proverbs gives us a picture of a husband and wife working together for a thriving marriage, and that is the most important foundational thing for a thriving family. That's the first point we see. The second thing that we would see, the second group within the family that Proverbs regularly addresses is parents. And what we see is this. Number two, parents, if you want your children to thrive, it begins with you. Listen to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And remember, parents, this is addressed specifically at you. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So God, in his wisdom, he has so designed the family that parents, ultimately, parents are the primary people who are responsible for training up children so that they can grow up and they can become wise and they can thrive in this world. Again, we saw that right from the opening chapter. The whole book is meant to be seen as parents instructing children. But even here, more specifically in this verse, that word there for train up, that carries the idea of teaching and instructing and even dedicating a child towards something. And here we're not just talking about just factual knowledge and a kind of a broad base of several subjects. In the grand picture of things, the Lord is not ultimately going to hold you accountable, parents, if your children don't know how to multiply polynomials. That's algebra, in case anyone doesn't remember that. This instruction, this training up is specific to knowing God through his word. This is instructing our children in the fear of the Lord. And overwhelmingly, what Proverbs says is that parents, first and foremost, above all else and above everyone else, this is your responsibility. And parents, you will not be able to do this if you yourselves have not been established in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Parents, if you have the fear of the Lord, you will build a refuge for your children. It's not saying that you yourself will be that refuge. Your fear of the Lord will be a strong refuge. And look, the reality is, you are building something for your children. You are training them in something. You're forming them and modeling something for them. The question is it the fear of the Lord? If it is, then be encouraged. You will build for them a strong refuge. If it's not, If the primary thing that your children glean from you is not fearing the Lord, even if it's something else that's good, even something good like a strong work ethic, it will not be a strong refuge. It will be a paper house. And in the end, your children will not thrive in it. Now, let me just give you an example. What are we talking about here? What might it look like for parents to train up children in the way that they should go? This is just one example. This is not how it has to look, but this is what you can do. Parents, we talked about family meals together, mealtime. Come together around the dinner table, eat dinner together, and after dinner's over, Dad, grab a Bible. Open up God's word. Read a passage of scripture to your children, to your family. Explain it to them. Let them ask questions. Talk about it. And lead them in prayer. Maybe sing a song together. Maybe sing a song they'd like to sing together on Sunday mornings. You don't need to do it at the dinner table. Perhaps you could do it before bed. This is just one small picture, one small glimpse of what it could look like for you to begin working right now, right away, to training up your own children. Now, I also want to clarify something here. I want to clarify what this is not saying. This is not saying that if your child grows up and they don't become a Christian, they grow up and they are not walking with the Lord, that it's automatically your fault. This is not saying that. You do not get to control that. It is God who saves. But what this is saying is that God, in his wisdom, he has so set things up that he has given you as parents the primary responsibility to be the ones to do this for your children, to train them up to know God through his word. And at the same time, this doesn't mean that parents are the only ones that have any responsibility. In fact, there is a sense in which all of us right here in this room together as a church, we all have responsibility in this. So what does that mean? What does it look like? What is our responsibility as a local church? Well, primarily, our primary role as a church is to come alongside parents, to equip them, to encourage parents to train up their children. And here I just want to say that we want to do a better job of that. We want to do a better job of coming alongside parents and equipping them and helping you to do this. And this is just one small way. I'm not saying this is the total answer for all, but this is one small way we want to do this. I want to let you know about a class that's coming up this fall. This is a 10-week parenting class that will happen here at Grace on Monday evenings from 6:30 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. beginning on Monday, September 18th. If you want to go ahead and just lock that date in your mind, that should be in your worship guide as well. You'll be hearing more in the coming weeks about this, but Rob and Nicole Josart will be facilitating this class, and this will be designed to do this very thing that we're talking about, to come alongside you as parents and to equip and encourage you to raise up your children, to train them in the way they should go. I'm not saying this is everything, but this is a small but very significant way in which we want to come alongside you and help you. So again, just kind of plug that away in your mind and get ready to plan for that. Also, we're doing everything we can to pull together childcare to make that as accessible as possible for you. But there's more. As a local church, in addition to coming alongside parents, we also want to come alongside children. We want to come alongside children as secondary leaders, as secondary influences in their lives, secondary to you as parents, but we want to come alongside your children, and we want to teach and instruct the children that God has brought to us right here and entrusted to our care. And we all have a role to play in that. You know, a couple times a year, we have child dedications. If you can kind of think back to when we had one of those recently in our church, that's where all the parents come up here and they stand in front of you with their children, and their children know that there's nothing that they can do to discipline them while they're up here, and so the children misbehave and embarrass their parents. And so just try to think back, you know, to the last time that happened. Think about what's going on there. There's a couple things that are happening. One is the parents are making a commitment before the Lord and before us to do this, to fulfill the responsibility to raise up children to fear the Lord. But they are not the only ones who are making a commitment on that day. If you remember, we also, as a church, we are making a commitment. We're making a commitment to help them, to come alongside them, those parents, but we're also making a commitment to help come alongside these children and to help to train and instruct them as well. But this is why we have Children's Sunday School here on Sunday mornings. That's why we have Awana on Wednesday evenings, which will be starting again pretty soon. That's why we have middle school and high school students meet on Wednesday nights for Blaze here at our church. All these things are intended for us to come around children and teach and instruct children. And our ability to do that, our ability to come alongside as influencers and teachers and disciplers, it depends in large part on you. We need you to serve our church by discipling and loving students here. And for all of you who do that, thank you. Thank you for serving our church that way. Thank you for serving our parents and our children that way. But let me just say, we need more of you to do that. We need more of you to step forward and serve in this way. And so let me just ask you to consider that this morning, especially if you are not currently serving someplace right now, please consider this. Please consider serving in this area, serving our church in this way. And like, even if you're not a parent, or if you are a parent but your children are grown and you're out of the house, don't be tempted to think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Don't be tempted to think, hey, I've done my time. You have a tremendous opportunity to partner with parents and to come alongside their own children in training up their children. So please consider this. If you would be willing to consider this, you can talk to Rachel Menke. She's our director of children's ministry. She'll actually be out in the commons at a table after the service today. You can talk to her. You can talk to Chris Amundson, our director of student ministries. You can come talk to me right after the service, and I will point you in the right direction. So please come alongside parents as they train up their children in the fear of the Lord so that they may thrive in this world. That's the second group that Proverbs addresses. Number three, there's a third group that Proverbs addresses, and that is children. We saw God's wisdom for husbands and wives. We saw his wisdom for parents. And now we look at what he has for children here. Children, I'm talking to you. Children, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to students. I'm talking to anyone who is still in the care of their parents. Listen up. This is for you. This is what Proverbs says to you. If you want to thrive in this world, then listen to your parents and receive their instruction. Young people, these words from Proverbs are directed right at you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 to 25. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Now, last week, if you remember, we looked at Proverbs on humility, and one of the things that we saw is that there is a force at work in us, in our hearts, called pride. And that pride is at work, and it causes us to think that we know what is best all the time. And let me just tell you, no matter how young you are, that work is already at work in you, in your heart. If you are old enough to make sense of human language in any sort of way, pride is already at work in your heart. And let me just tell you, young people, your heart is lying to you. You are not wise enough to know what's best. You need your parents for that. And God has given them to you for that. There's not just a force at work in your heart, there's a force at work from outside you as well. We live in a world that wants to convince you that, again, you know what's best and that you have to do what's best for you. We live in a world that will try to convince you that your parents are out of touch with reality, that they don't know what it's like to be a young person, and that they don't have your best interests in mind. Again, please hear me, young people. The world is lying to you. The world is not wise enough to tell you what's best for you. You need your parents for that. And God has given you parents for that. Now, I do want to say one thing your heart may be telling you and the world may be telling you is that your parents are not cool. And let me tell you, that part is probably right. But who cares? That's not what you have parents for in the first place. And what you'll discover, in fact, what I pray that you'll discover someday is that being cool is not what you want anyway. You don't want cool. What you want and what you need is wisdom. Children, get wisdom, and specifically, the fear of the Lord. You need to know God, and God has given you parents to help you with that, to help you have wisdom, to help you know God, and to help you walk with God in wisdom. So children, students, young people, listen to your parents. Respect them. Trust them. And if you do, you will make them glad, and you and your family will thrive. Now, before we conclude this morning, I do want to acknowledge something important about the subject of family. For many of us, this subject of family can bring with it great joy and encouragement. Now, other times, for many of us, this subject of family brings with it feelings of great sorrow and perhaps even great discouragement. And the reality is that while the family itself, it is God's wisdom for human flourishing, it's God's wisdom for how people will thrive in our society, at the same time, every single family has felt the effects of sin in some way. There is no family that is unaffected by the sin, by the rebellion of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And some families, many families, even families here, have felt those effects even to the point of seeing family break apart. And let me just say to you here, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I've botched it. I have ruined this. I have let my family down. I have not heard and followed God's wisdom for how to do this. Let me just tell you, there is forgiveness in Christ. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. In Christ, in his loving sacrificial death for us on the cross, there is forgiveness in Christ. Or perhaps you're here and maybe you don't think you're the one that has driven your family apart, but maybe you have felt the effects of that. Maybe you've been the victim of something that is far short of wisdom for God's family. Let me just tell you, there is healing in the gospel of Jesus. There is healing for you to find forgiveness. And Jesus himself, he can forgive any sinner, and he can bring restoration to any family. And there's another aspect of this that we need to consider. There's another aspect of family that Scripture speaks about. That's us. The people of God, the church. We are a family. We, right here in this room, we are a family that has been purchased by the very blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die to save a number of disconnected individuals. He shed his blood for us, and he purchased us as a new family. Listen to how it's said in John chapter 1, verse 12. This is referring to Christ. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think about that. When someone's born into a family, when someone's adopted into a family, when someone's brought into a family, that what happens is that child is given the family name. That name signifies who they are. It signifies who they belong to. It signifies who they go with. And every one of us here in this room, we've been given a family name, but those names are not the names that unite us together. One day, those family names, they will be forgotten. There's another name that will never be forgotten. If you are in Christ, if you have trusted in him and his work on the cross, then you are brought into his family and you bear his name. I mean, think about that. How are we known? We're known as Christians. Christians. We belong to Christ, the King. We get his name. And when we bear his name, what he is saying, when he gives us his name, he's saying, He is not ashamed of us. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He is not ashamed to bring us into his family, to give us his name, and he gives us a perfect father who loves us, and we have brothers and sisters in Christ. All over the world, throughout the ages, and forever into eternity, and right here, one another in this room, we are family. And this is God's wisdom for us. So just a moment, we're going to respond by taking the Lord's Supper together. This is sort of a family meal, if you will. But before we do that, what I want us to do is to go to the Lord in prayer. And specifically, what I want to do is lead us in a prayer of confession. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's think about the ways in which we have maybe neglected God's wisdom for us, for family. Let's pray. Father, we confess this morning that all too often we do not think about family as your wisdom for us. We confess that sometimes family feels more like a burden than a blessing. We confess that at times we don't think about family at all, Lord, because at times all we think about is ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus. Father, we confess that often as husbands and wives, we've fallen short of what your word calls us to in order to help our marriages thrive. Forgive us, Lord. Help us in our marriages to demonstrate sacrificial love and respectful submission that reflects the very gospel of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we confess that as parents, we often fall short of the responsibility that you've given us to train up our children. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to approach that responsibility, not just out of duty, but as a great joy and privilege, not only as parents, but together as a church. And Father, we confess that at times we forget or neglect the family that you have born us into through your Son, Jesus, that you brought us into your very own family and you've given us one another. Help us, Lord, not to neglect the special privilege it is to belong to one another right here in this local church. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you back next week as our study in the book of Proverbs continues. For additional podcasts, streaming video, a calendar of events, and blog posts, stop by our website, graceinracine.com.